and welcome back to Big Titan Talk with the Anime Nay. And today I am here to chat with you all, discuss, reminisce, you know, all that good stuff about the amazingness that was episode 3 of Attack on Titan season 4. Today, ladies and gentle gents, we are three people here, not two, but three, to talk about Attack on Titan. And today I have your friendly neighborhood business partners with me, Aiden and Trey from Hess and Lawson. Welcome, you guys.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, what's up? It's Trey here.
Okay, so me and Aiden go way back. We went to high school together, but he and his business partner have created H&L Kicks, a shoe customization and restoration business. And I've seen them customize things from everything from Jordans to Adidas to baseball cleats, and also shoes I've genuinely never seen before in my life. So how long have you guys been in business together?
We've been in business together since April 2019.
Okay.
Feels like a grip.
Yeah, but it's honestly not been that long. And you guys have seen a ton of success on your page and on your YouTube channel as well. So you guys are kind of taking off. And has it been like a year and a half?
Yeah, I think it's been something around that time, a year and a half. We've just been trying to grind, you know, just elevate.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so you two are also really big anime fans. So what are you guys watching right now?
Of course, Attack on Titan.
Yeah, we've been on Attack on Titan. We've been contemplating watching some Digimon. Going back and touching up on some Digimon.
Yeah.
What were you guys gonna watch Digimon on? Hulu?
On Watch Cartoon Online, you know, the usual.
Anime pirates.
Okay, I feel you. Okay, so this is kind of an off-kilter question, but you guys are shoe customizers, and I've said that some gym shoes to me look like anime shoes. Like, some of these Jordans out here to me look like they belong on Dragon Ball Z. But I was going to ask you guys in general, like, do you guys ever notice the shoe game in anime, or just like the fashion at all in anime?
Yeah, I notice. Usually the kicks are weak, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, anime, I feel like it's a lot of boots, open-toed shoes. You talking about Naruto? You know, that's definitely weak. Attack on Titan, they straight knee-high boots. I'm not messing with those either. Dragon Ball Z got the battle Doc Martens.
No, I feel that. So what would you guys say, like, what show needs the most improvement? Like, what are you guys watching? You're like, oh my god, this looks terrible.
Drip wise.
Right, man, that's a hard question. I feel like every anime can get some more sauce.
I feel that. Have you guys seen JoJo's?
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces. I think I've seen the first season. I don't even know how to watch it. I feel like there's so many seasons. I don't know. It's like
there restarts all the time. Yeah, there are a lot of seasons. There's a lot of arcs. And it seems like to me, like, the arcs are kind of connected, but also not a lot connected. But I brought it up because JoJo's has like the craziest fashion to me, particularly like in the later arcs and the later seasons. Like, the clothing, the hair, the shoes are crazy. But that was the first anime that I ever watched that I actually was paying attention to people's clothes. Like you guys said, like, people usually have on boots or sandals, like Jesus sandals. but yeah, okay. Cool. So we can get started with our recap. So like I always say, the recap will be as brief as I can make it. But as we all know, Attack on Titan is insane, and they will give you so much information in like a 20-something minute episode. But this one, I don't feel like we got a ton of info in this one. I just think a lot happened. We got to see a lot of backstory. Okay, cool. So the episode opens with a flashback of Reiner's mom. Reiner's mom explaining to him why his father isn't around and pretty much saying that it's because they're Eldians and his father is actually a Marlian. So Reiner grows up with this chip on his shoulder thinking that if he and his mom can become honorary Marlians, then he can kind of put his family back together. And then we're transported into a scene where he is with his fellow warrior candidates, including Annie, Zeke, Bertolt, the woman, Piek, I think it is, Piek or Pike or something like that, or Peek maybe, and then Marcel, and someone else who they keep calling Porco, which I was confused by because I thought that that was, what's his name? Galliard. Unless, are they saying Porco, like, as in, like, pork? Do you guys know what I mean? Did you guys catch that?
Yeah.
Or you guys didn't catch that?
That's, I'm not 100% sure on that one. I was a little, I wasn't sure. That's the best way to say it.
Yeah. Like, I was like, is this like a nickname or something? But I'm assuming that it's Galliard, though. It looks like Galliard. So, yeah. So then back then, Reiner was the weakest one. And no one really thought he was going to be chosen to be a warrior. But he was determined to fight for the Marley cause. Like, he was determined to become a Marlian or an honorary Marlian. So Bertolt is really the only one that feels like he could be chosen, but surely enough, as we know, Reiner's dream becomes true and he sets out to become a Marley hero. So he's chosen over Porco to be the armored Titan. And we get to see a clip of him, Annie, Bertolt, and Zeke all destroying a nation right before they're shipped off to Paradise Island. But before they get shipped, there's a parade held in their honor. And right before we get to see that parade, though, basically Porco gets all in Reiner's face and is pretty pissed off that he was chosen instead of him. But Marcel jumps in, stops the fight, and he says that he's sorry to Reiner, which we can assume that he's saying he's sorry for Porco's behavior, but we'll find out a little later what he's really sorry for. But yeah, so they make their way to the parade. And while at the parade, Reiner sees his mom smiling with pride. But then he sees someone who we can assume is his dad. And he goes up to him and tries to have a conversation with him and, like, basically tell him, like, we can be a family now. And Reiner's dad is not having it at all. He says, nah, leave me alone. You and your mom are dangerous. And basically shuns him away. Poor guy. And after that, they go away and we get to see them a day before they're about to attack. So this all takes place right before they actually break the wall. I think it was Wall Maria. Was that the first wall? I think. But yeah. So we get to see them the night before they're supposed to do it. And pretty much everyone's scared. They don't really want to, not that they don't want to carry out the mission, but you can tell that they're a little hesitant. But Reiner basically tells them that everything is going to be good because they are the chosen warriors that were meant to save everyone. But Marcel cuts in crying and he basically tells Reiner that he was never supposed to be chosen and that he is the one that convinced the officials to choose him instead of his brother, because he didn't want to get his brother involved. So that's pretty much why he said sorry to Reiner in the first place. But Reiner is, like, shook at this, and he can't let this go, and it's, like, haunting him that he wasn't supposed to be chosen until the next day when we get to actually see Ymir's Titan attack them, and he's so scared and, like, just out of himself that he almost gets eaten. But instead, Marcel pushes him out the way and gets eaten. And they're able to run away and escape. But Annie and Bertolt, by the end of all of this, want to go back. They want to go back home and just, like, basically abandon the mission, figure out who is the new Jaw Titan and take them back with them. But Reiner is like, no, we have to do this. There's no way that we can go back. We have to move forward. But he's still kind of doubting himself, but they do move forward and they do destroy the wall. And Reiner's pretty much like, okay, now that we've done this, I have to take Marcel's place in being the leader in this group. And by any means necessary, we will find the founding Titan or else. but yeah, so there's multiple moments that we see that Annie kind of wants to go back. And we even see her in a run-in with Kenny the Ripper or the Reaper. But again, Reiner reassures her that they're going to be good. All they got to do is find the founding Titan and they can go home and live a good life. And yeah, we get a clip, and it's kind of a funny little clip. We get a like a scene going back and forth between Reiner talking to Aaron and encouraging Aaron to be the hero like he wants to be. And then we are seeing clips of present day Reiner literally loading a gun to shoot himself. So we're smacked back into the present where Reiner is sitting in a room alone, straight up about to kill himself. But he doesn't because Falco is outside and he hears Falco pretty much crying outside, or not really crying, but just kind of like throwing like a mini fit. And then Reiner realizes that he has the kids to think about, so he doesn't kill himself. But the end of the episode for me is where I was really like, okay, this is interesting. So the end of the episode, we have Falco walking past a hospital and a random like fallen Marleyan soldier calls him over. And the soldier is there for emotional trauma, but he tells Falco that really he's lying and that he's telling everyone that he can't remember anything that happened, but he does remember everything that happened, but he just can't go home and face his family. And I think because of that vulnerability, Falco ends up confessing that he doesn't want to be a warrior. He doesn't want Gabby to become a warrior either. And the man tells Falco that he wants him to live a really long time because he seems like a good person. And then we get like a semi rant from this random guy. And he's asking, you know, Falco, like, why did things end up like this? And basically trying to like rationalize the cruelty of war. And he says that most people are pushed into war, but some push themselves into the fire. And he says, in quotes, see, any of like people who can push themselves into the fire can see beyond the wall to what might be hope or more hell. And only those who keep moving forward will know. And that is the end of the scene. But the end of the scene, like as the guy was talking, was super freaking intense. Okay, so that is the recap. Hopefully I didn't miss anything. I'm pretty sure I did not. I really enjoyed this episode. How did you guys feel about it in general?
I most definitely enjoyed this episode. I felt like a part that was very pivotal was when Annie was whooping Reiner's butt. Like, she was really stomping his ears together. And then he got up, got the choking her out, and then Berto get the crying. Like, I feel like you got to really see everybody's personality in that scene, for real.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really showed that Annie, I feel like Annie in all of this is kind of like an innocent bystander in a way. Like, to me, Annie doesn't seem super attached to like the Marleyan values or to anything, and I feel like she's just going along with this because she has to, which sucks. I put a poll up on my Instagram story the other day, and I asked if, you know, people enjoyed this episode, like if they liked all the exposition we got or if they're missing the action, and a vast majority of people were like, I want more action. So how do you guys feel about that?
I'll go ahead. Honestly, it's good to have the story, but I feel like, you know, it's supposed to be like the final season and everything. I think everyone just wants the whole thing to be like that big bang, you know? So, but like, I think the balance is important, but I could use a little bit more action. At least give us some like throwback old war battle scenes or something. Show us like, you know, maybe more of like them doing what they're doing, or like, I thought it was cool when you seen them like as young Titans though, because I mean that was kind of action if you think about it, because the thing I was talking to Aiden about that was interesting is like, you don't think about when they were doing that first attack, they were just kids themselves, and it's like crazy.
Absolutely,
it's crazy now that you're looking at it at this aspect of it, because at first you're just like thinking it's these, I don't know, you don't have no idea what it is at the beginning, you're just like, it's this crazy attack. And you, I don't know, I guess you just assume it's adults or evil people in the world, but you just never think that it's just some kids that are pawns in the big game of everything. I don't know.
Right.
It's pretty cool, though, that they use the story. So I think the story makes it more important. I think it's better that they're adding this story stuff than just feeding us straight action. So.
Yeah, I think that, I feel like some people were already kind of seeing the human side of Annie and Bertholdt and everyone on the other side when we found out that everyone was Eldians. I feel like that kind of like lifted the veil, like they're not this like weird, like they're not these like weird people who are just evil, who are just attacking them for no reason. But I feel like all of this that we're getting is really, really like really humanizing all of them so much. And personally, it made me so much more empathetic to all of them, because just like you said, they're literally children. And I was thinking about this too. Like, I think about how raw I thought Beast Titan was when he pulled onto the scene, right? And I was like, oh, this man really knows what he's doing. But I'm like, realistically, once they had their Titans, it seems like they were sent to Paradise Island, like, not too long after. And when you think about it, like, once they got on Paradise Island, like, really, what could they do training-wise? Like, they couldn't really train their Titans for real, because they can't really, you know, transform on Paradise Island without being seen, especially within the walls. And then thinking about it, like, Beast Titan, Cart Titan, like, all of them, they have been able to actually, like, train and become way better soldiers. And I'm sure, too, like, Marley was probably using them to do, you know, all types of stuff while the rest of them were over at Paradise Island. For sure. But yeah, I'm just like, these kids are literally emotionally abused. Like, I just literally cannot believe that. But like I said, I feel like most people were pretty empathetic to Reiner and all of them, but I feel like this was the episode that really, really, really like changed the narrative for me. And something that I've been curious about a lot while watching Attack on Titan is Reiner's psychology and just like how he's doing in general. And yeah, like we kind of talked about it on the last episode of Big Titan Talk, but we kind of talked about if he has like multiple personality disorders and just like what's going on with his psychology. So I thought that it was really good that we got to see that. And, you know, again, I feel like we were just kind of jumping to conclusions about why Reiner was having all of this stuff going on. But now it's like we really see the guilt that he's under, because, I mean, his friend literally died in his place. And realistically, they failed. Like, yeah, they failed. They didn't get the Founding Titan.
And I kind of felt for him when he was in that kind of... He's kind of resenting everything. He got the gun in his mouth. And the fact that he was about to take his own life just kind of shows you that he's having that internal battle. You know, he's just reliving everything and not really dealing well with that.
Yeah, definitely. It's like I'm definitely on both sides of it. Like, I definitely, like, I didn't like him, definitely, like, when he was, like, because you know how, like how he was playing his role, like, perfectly, like, oh, he was, like, the true soldier and all that. And then when he turned on him, I was, like, felt betrayed myself. So, of course, I, like, drifted away from liking him and stuff as much. But when you see this start, like you said, it's, like, really, like, that turning point where you're, like, okay, I can see where they're coming from. And it kind of makes sense back to season 3 when they're, like, on top of that tree and he's, like, having those mental battles with himself. It's, like, he feels the camaraderie he had between Eren and Mikasa and all the regiment scouts and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's like he's still just trying to, like, I don't know. I feel like he wants to be that at-home hero at the end of the day. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like he finally got the love he wanted being here, but the whole time he's still, like, fighting for to be that back-at-home hero. And in reality, it's like everyone's brainwashed and they hate them. It's, like, obvious, though. So it's, like, I don't know. I, like, hate that. I feel bad for him now because it's, like, they're calling their own people devils and all that stuff. And they're, like, mm-hmm. brainwashed. And, like, I wasn't looking at it like that until this episode. So.
No, I feel that. And, you know, I didn't even think about that. Like, literally what he was searching for. Like, the accolades and just, like, the praise and all of that was really what he was getting when he was on Paradise Island. Like, Reiner was the man. Like, everyone did love him. So I feel like, yeah, you're right. Like, that definitely was a big part of him, like, feeding into all of that. Because now that I think back, like, it's just so crazy how now that we have this season, when I think back to the past seasons of, like, in season 2, whenever Reiner would start acting like he really cared about Eren and Armin and all those people, Bertolt was giving him all these side eyes, like, what is wrong with you, sir? Like, what are you doing? And it's crazy because at that point, Annie and Bertolt were like, okay, Reiner, we're doing what you want us to do, but you're acting weird as hell. Like, our lives are basically on you. Like, you told us that we should continue on with this mission, and now you're over here just playing around with them? Like, what is that? Because at first, I was kind of confused, like, why they were so on him about that. Like, how could y'all not understand how this man is going through it? But they were probably equally going through it, and also, like, Reiner, get it together. I wanted to ask you guys, so this whole situation with the kids gives me a lot of thoughts, but when he doesn't kill himself and he sees Falco and he's like, that's right, like, I still have them, what do you guys think, like, his relationship to the kids is? Like, is he trying to save them? Is he just happy that they're there? He's not alone? Like, I'm genuinely kind of confused on, like, what he's going through with that and with them.
Well, like, drawing back to the previous episode when he was at the dinner table talking to the family and basically letting them know how life was on the island, he, like, it was obvious that he was lying about it, you know what I'm saying, that he was lying about them being devils, about them being horrible. So in essence, I feel like he might be rebellious on the Marleyan side and more so side with the people on the island, just knowing how they, like, their true nature after being there for some years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do wonder. I would like to just clearly hear him state how he feels. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like we're all, personally, I'm trying to figure out what's about to happen, and it really is based off of him. Like, you know, I think if he starts to really empathize with Aaron and them, the whole tide of everything could change. Like, if he empathizes really and is like, this is wrong what we're doing. Yeah, that's true. Why do y'all think that Marcel jumped in front of him and got eaten instead? You know what I'm talking about, like, when they were kids?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he maybe did it just because he felt bad that, like, he was the least mm-hmm. ready to be there, and he was basically felt like he was the reason that he was there. So, and just in the spur of the moment, he just saved him, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like he just did it off of impulse, and I feel like Marcel himself had hella guilt because, like you said, like, he was – Reiner was the least prepared to be in there. And it's crazy because he was talking all that mess, like, we are the chosen ones, like, da, da, da. And Marcel was like, I'm sorry to break it to you, sir. You were not.
Yeah. Like, I think he's definitely, like, top brainwashed. Like, Reiner is, like, one of the top most brainwashed people. Because, like, even like they said at the beginning, they're like, you don't even have anything going for you but loyalty to them. Like, mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Absolutely. And what, I feel like that would be such a crazy twist of events if Reiner is the one that, like, helps Aaron, or just, you know what I mean? Like, if he does go against the Marlin government, which, I mean, at this point, he should. Like, they all should. Really, what is Marley doing for y'all? Like, they say that Marley's protecting them in a way, but I'm like, not for real. Like, I feel like every other day, they're sending more Eldians to become Titans and literally killing people. Like, for real, are there any Titans left? Like, I mean, are there any Eldians left? Like, I just can't believe that this is happening. But yeah, so you kind of touched on this, Trey, the whole, like, the fact that they are children. And I have been wondering, why are they making children do this? Like, why are the children having to take on this burden that adults should be taking on?
Isn't this
definitely
the,
makes sense. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, what, isn't this the first time? Didn't they mention that in the episode that this was the first time they were sending kids over?
They did. Well, they said that they think that that these kids are going to be better than the last, like, class of people, whatever, like, whoever was the, like, Titan Warriors before. But I think that they might have said that these are, did they say that these are the youngest people? But they did say that this is the first, like, it's weird that they're sending kids right. to do this job. And I also agree that it was strange. And I felt, I was kind of like, why did they choose Reiner, who they were kind of iffy about anyway, and Marcel, Annie, and Berto? Like, why not send, if this, such a, if this is such an important mission, why not send these Titans? Like, why not just... You know,
I feel like it's probably like the adults are probably more likely to turn than the kids, probably. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's like if you give all the adults that power and they got their full, like, you know, they could easily plan a rebellion if you give that to five adults versus you give it to like five kids who are still like depending on the government. And they're kind of like, you know, they're not like full grown adults. They're not like confident in their decision making and stuff. So. I think they get them while they're young, you know,
easily manipulative.
Once the person, once Ymir had eaten Jaw Titan, in my head, it's over. It's literally over because that is such a catastrophe. Like, catastrophe. To me, the only fix is to get whoever is the new Jaw Titan and go back home. Like, I just don't, I'm like, how did y'all think that y'all were going to be able to succeed without one integral as Titan? Like, I don't know. That also to me was like so stupid. And I get that they didn't want to die, or that Reiner didn't want to die, or he didn't want his story to end. But to me, I'm like, yeah, but you really just made it so much worse for yourself, because now y'all really have to complete this mission with one whole less Titan. And he was the leader. Like, I don't know. That was so stupid to me.
It's definitely interesting, though, because, like, that led to everything, though. The whole story, though, is based off just that almost so far. Like, the whole attack, Aaron's parents dying. Like, it messed up his dad's – or I guess his dad already died, but it kind of, like, just messed up everything. Like, it just, like, the people weren't ready. Like, the kids, Reiner and Berthold and Annie, they weren't ready. Like, it just forced the people to, like, all, like, I don't know. It, like, kicked the whole story into motion. So it's kind of like, it's crazy that that's how it happened, but it is definitely dumb. And it's like, I guess if it didn't happen, would anything have happened, you know? So.
Yeah, no, that's true. And it is kind of funny to think about the fact that the Colossal Titan that initially broke the wall and Armored Titan who ended up breaking the other inside wall were these kids, like, seeing Berthold come out of his Titan and it'd be like a little kid version of Berthold was actually sad as hell to me. So I want to talk about the end a little bit. First off, I'm so happy that Reiner didn't kill himself. Did you guys think he was going to go through with it, or did you think something was going to stop him?
I almost didn't even know it was like, if it was like current time or if it was like a flashback at that moment. And then it's like, when the Falco or whoever bangs on the wall, it's like, that's when I feel like I realized what was fully happening. So I'm like, oh, like, damn, he was about to like blow his head up.
Yeah, the moment was so intense.
Yeah, he had spit all in the barrel, like that was his mouth. He had that thing all up in his mouth. Like, he was committed.
No, he was committed. He was committed. And you know what? Little Falco is literally little Reiner to me. Like, they look so much alike. So when the episode first started and it was like the flashback of him as a kid with his mom, I definitely thought it was Falco for a little bit until it was like, oh no, this is Reiner's flashback. But that's interesting to me, though. Mm. That's interesting to me. And I kind of feel like Falco and his relationship might be the thing that saves him. Like, might be the thing that, like, breaks him out of some of his brainwashing.
No, I can see that for sure. Do you remember when Reiner was walking and he was with Falco, Falco and his gang, and he had that flashback of him and Annie and Berthold and them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that most definitely.
Yeah, and it's sad because it literally is the same exact thing. And I mean, he's probably thinking like literally all of them are gone except for
him.
Wow. I mean, yeah, Annie. Annie is the only person.
Oh, yeah, Annie's crystallized.
Yeah.
Wait, so is Annie's an Ackerman? That's what we found out?
Huh?
Was that Annie's an Ackerman?
Wait, why did you say that?
Because she was calling Kenny the River Papa.
Oh, okay. See, that part I was confused by. I felt like she was just saying that to, like, get him to talk to her.
But she got skills. She got skills.
She does. She does.
I was kind of confused about that part.
Yeah, at first I was like, is this lady? I didn't recognize it was Annie. I thought it really was Kenny's daughter. And I was like, why are we seeing this? But I realized it was Annie. But yeah, I think she was just trying to get intel, and so she went that route. But yeah. And that was crazy to see too, because it was like, wow, y'all are really spies. Like, y'all have really been like spying it up, you know? This girl is no longer on the little scout campground. She is literally in the streets, in the, like, boroughs of freaking Paradise Island, talking to Kenny the Ripper. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. but, yeah, it also makes sense, though, to me, like, even furthering Falco and Reiner's relationship, because, really, he's better alive than dead for the kids. So, like, I was thinking about this, like, even if he was to kill himself, he knows that the armor Titan would go to somebody super random, right? And if that happens, like, the kids play no role at that point. Like, they might as well just not even be there anymore, you know? And I also was wondering who's about to take over the Jaw Titan. I mean, not the Jaw Titan, the Cart Titan, because I'm pretty sure that she's the same age as Reiner.
Pete?
Yeah.
I think they're all passing. I think everyone's about to pass. Besides probably the... Well, I think the Jaw Titan...
Mm-hmm.
The Jaw Titan is obviously like someone that's... He's not about to expire because he's got at least mm-hmm. some years.
Right.
But, yeah... What you call it, her, because she's been on that Titan forever, because, like, Zeke's about to expire, Reiner, Aaron, and, like, what you call it, all of them are all, like, on their last year, I think.
Mm-hmm. Man. Do you guys think that if they were older, they would have been able to succeed? And, like, I didn't even finish my statement. Do y'all think that if they were older when they got their Titans, that they would have succeeded in getting the Founding Titan and, like, getting back to Paradise Island? I mean, getting back to Marley.
Potentially. I think the main downside was that, died, and, like, then they were short of Titan. Because then they, like, just basically created that attack as a diversion just so they could blend into the population.
Right.
But they might have had a whole different plan if they just had all the Titans together on one.
That's real. That is so real.
So I feel like Once that moment happened, everything changed, literally.
No, yeah, literally. Like, it, again, like, the story started off with, like, the myth of Titans, right? Like, only people who had actually seen Titans were the scouts who had gone out to find the Titans. And then this was the first day that, like, the Titans actually attacked. And again, to just know that it was little Bertolt's ass on top of that wall is so crazy. It's so crazy. So back to the end, y'all already know what I'm going to say. 100%. The guy that Falco was talking to at the end was Aaron Yeager, 100%. And if that wasn't Aaron Yeager, I will stop watching Attack on Titan. Nah, I'm kidding. I'm not going to stop watching. But I feel like that was definitely him.
And I don't know. I can't see it. I can't see it.
I can see some of the things. Like, I guess he's got dark hair, eye color similar. I mean, obviously he's older and stuff, but the thing that throws me off is, like, he's missing a limb, and I didn't think that that was possible for a Titan user to be missing a limb permanently, unless he can control it, or maybe since he's getting older, he doesn't recover as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, though, but it would seem like, every time someone comes out the Titan form, they're, like, healed, even after, like, they were, like, real beat up or whatever, so... Mm-hmm. It makes me think that it wouldn't be possible unless he, like, let his leg get cut up. It would still heal back automatically, though, because, like, even when they had cut him out and he was on, like I mentioned, when he's on that tree earlier on season 3, and him and Ymir were both regenerating, like, naturally. So I just didn't think it would be possible for him to – but, like – I did see, like, I repaid attention because they said, like, he had a story, like, where basically, like, he was like, oh, I don't want to go back home.
Exactly.
And some other stuff like that. So, like, there are definitely some things that makes it seem like it could be Aaron, but I feel like it's not. And I feel like they're just making it seem like it could be on purpose.
And he said he lied to the people about having memory loss, but he remembered everything. And for that reason, he did not want to go home. So I was wondering, like, is his home – like in like a place in Marley? That's why I didn't think it was Aaron, to be honest.
So, well, maybe okay,
maybe the memory loss was like the lie.
Yeah, maybe that wasn't.
And I thought about it like that too, but the main thing is like, it's the limb. I don't know. From what I understand about Titans, it's not possible.
You said it's the limb. It's no, the limb. And I will say for me, it was definitely the limb. But... it was the limb for me. But my only thought to that is that, okay, here two theories on that. A, he could be re-chopping that thing off. He could be just like at night just kind of harming himself a little bit to make sure it doesn't heal. Or he could have the ability to, like, you know how you can concentrate all your energy on healing one spot so that spot heals quickly? He could be concentrating his energy so that that spot doesn't heal, you know, like focusing his energy somewhere else.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that too. Like, he could be doing that. Like
one quick thing I want to say is if he keeps cutting his leg off, wouldn't that like activate your Titan, or can you like fight it if you don't want to activate it?
Good question.
I didn't think you could fight it though, because I remember when that one, when Nick the Ripper, I said Nick, but what's his name?
Kenny
the Ripper. When he cut Aaron's face, it's like he couldn't stop from turning into a Titan. I feel like when he was, when they were trying to turn Historia into a Titan. Because I feel like once something happens, I feel like you can't fight it. I don't know.
So I think it kind of is like, so there were moments in season 1 when Aaron tried to, like, he would cut himself and it wouldn't work. And I think it has to be attached to, like, a goal, or, like, you have to have, like, a clear intention. Like, I think it was in season 1 when they first found out he was a Titan and they were trying to get him to do all these Titan experiments. I think they dropped him into a hole, and he kept cutting himself or biting himself, and he wouldn't turn. And then it was at lunch that day, he dropped his spoon, and then, like, he had the clear intention of, okay, I have to pick the spoon up, but he had cut himself, and when he touched the spoon, he turned. And I think I remember them saying, like, you have to have, like, some sort of, like, goal or something in mind, but I'm not sure, because it did seem like past those moments, like the earlier moments, anytime he was injured, he was turning into a Titan. So that's a good point. That is a good point. But y'all, like, that has to be, even with the whole home stuff, like, to me, that was him saying that he knows the truth now about everything, and he can't go home until he fixes his problem. Like, he can't return back to Paradise Island until, like, the people of Marley are free. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Eldians in Marley are not enslaved and, like, being turned into Titans and sent to attack Paradise Island all the time. Like, that's kind of how I was looking at it. But I will say, at first, though, my first thought when Falco was talking to the guy, I thought that maybe it was, like, a revolutionist or a revolutionary or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking.
Yeah, like, I thought Falco was about to meet that guy, and the guy was going to be like, Oh, you don't want to be a warrior? True, true, true. Take my business card. We have meetings on Tuesday nights. Like, we are preparing to end the Marleyan rule. But I'm telling y'all, it was just something about the, like, the last couple of lines. Like, when he talked about the wall, was like, those that can see beyond the wall. I was like, oh my God, this is freaking Aaron Yeager. And I can't lie, his voice also just sounded like the voice of the guy that is Aaron Yeager. But we're going to see. But I will say, though, that it doesn't look like we're going to find that out soon. Like, it doesn't feel like the next episode is going to be us finding that out. But I also, though, will add to my case for that being Aaron, say that the first episode, the end of the very first episode of this season, when Marley wins the war and the town is erupting, everyone's like rejoicing and stuff, the guy at the end, I talked about this on my on one of the podcast episodes too, but the guy at the end looks like Jean to me. So I'm like, I just genuinely feel like they've already infiltrated. Like, we know that eventually Aaron and them are going to infiltrate Marley. We know that. And I just genuinely feel like they're already there. I don't know how, and I would like to know how, but I feel like they're there already. And one day they're just going to look up and all hell is going to break loose. But yeah, like, how are you guys? What are you guys thinking about that? Like, you think it's going to be an infiltration, or how do you guys feel?
I don't know. I'm more interested in, like, the rebellion type thing. Like, mm-hmm. I forget what episode it was. I think it was two, where there was, like, we're not going to talk about this in this room. And even the guy that was, like, listening to him, like, caught on that he said that. But right. I feel like they have been planning something. And I don't know if it's, like, just, like, a meet in the middle, if there's, like, some kind of messenger. But I don't think that they would have all made it over. I feel like it's, like, too locked down almost.
No, that is real. And I've been like, do they have a Titan that can dig or something? Like, how would they have done that? Like, that is the only problem I theory. I'm like, how in the hell would they have actually infiltrated? But I agree. I really do hope that there is some sort of, like, faction or something that still exists that is planning to take the Marley government down. And I really hope that, like, Zeke is a part of that. I really don't want Zeke to be this Marleyan puppet, like, you know, like he's being depicted to be. Because I personally, unpopular opinion, I really like Zeke's character. I can't lie. I really like his character. I don't like what he did in the, you know, beginning of his life when he told on his dad. I feel you. I feel you. I mean, it's hard for me to overlook too, and I can't overlook it, but his character is just so, like, cool to me. Like, the fact that he's so, like, just laissez-faire and just so chill. It's crazy to me because he's such a machine. Yeah. But, yeah, even – so when they said that whole thing, like, the whole not in this room, and when the Marleyan government pointed that out, it definitely made me think there has to be some sort of rebellion happening. So I kind of feel like it might be like a three-way mini war happening with, like, Aaron and them on one side, the Marleyan or the LDN, like, revolutionaries on one side, and then the Marley government on the other. Perhaps. I don't know how something like that would work or how something like that would end, but yeah, so at the end, Aaron says that either beyond the wall is hope or hell. And to me, it's definitely hell. So, but do you personally feel like living on Paradise Island is better or worse than living on at Marley?
I feel like living on Paradise Island is most definitely better because ignorance truly is bliss. Like, if you don't know all this bad stuff is going on, you're going to be cool. You're going to be cool. But if you are aware of everything that's going on, I feel like it's hard to be complacent.
I agree.
Yeah. I'd probably agree pretty much the same. Because they're like, they treat them like, it's like racial profiling, like, on the play. Like, they're like racist.
Yeah, it's literally extreme prejudice. And yeah, racism. Like, talking about stay in your place, like,
I'd be kind of triggered.
No, 100%. 100% triggered. Every time they refer to people on Paradise Island as savages or devils.
Devils, yeah. I was, like, getting mad when Reiner was calling them devils, like, to his own family. I was hurt. I was like, maybe it's just him and his people. He'd be like, they're not that bad. But he was like, no, they're devils. I was like, man, fuck this dude.
No, for real. But I will say, though, y'all, I think it depends on at what point, because in terms of, like, if it's better to live in Paradise Island. Now, before the Titans, before Reiner and them showed up, definitely give me Paradise Island any day. Like, they're chilling. The worst part about living there then was that it was boring. Like, you know, everyone's like, what's beyond the walls? Like, is this really it for us? And, you know, I'd rather have boredom than literally be in internment camps and be freaking used and turned into a Titan at any point if I don't, you know, obey what the Marley government says. But at the point when the Titans showed up and these people are literally living in extreme fear, running for their lives from Titans, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, that's messed up, but
that is pretty messed up. Like, I don't know. But I will say, though, in general, though, I would definitely take Paradise Island over Marley any day, but they both suck. They're both terrible. They're both awful.
Yeah, they're definitely both oppressed.
Yeah, and it's just crazy, again, to see that this show really did start off as a show about Titans, right? It was a show about these monsters that were eating humans, and watching this world, these people deal with that issue of, you know, their lives being taken. And it completely is not about that anymore. Like, it is no longer about the fact that Aaron's mom got eaten by a Titan. Like, that does not even matter anymore. Like, literally, this show is about so much stuff now. Like, how we're just talking about the kids having to fight for the adults, literally the whole Eldian race being oppressed, finding out that you've been fighting your own race of people this entire time. Like, y'all have been hating and killing Titans, and they're literally your people. They're literally, like how Aaron was saying, like, fallen soldiers. So yeah, it's pretty sad. It's pretty sad. But that is the genius that is Attack on Titan. So yeah, I can't wait until Sunday. It looks like did you guys watch the preview of the next episode?
Yeah, I forgot what it was. I didn't just watch it.
Yeah, it was, so basically we're going to get to see the Tiber family and learn more about the Warhammer Titan. And then they were saying how Reiner is going to get a surprise. So I'm interested to see what that's about to look like. But like I said, it doesn't look like we're going to find out that much more about the guy at the end of this episode quite yet, but hopefully so. And honestly, I don't even know how many episodes there are left in the season. I mean, obviously we're just on the third episode, but I'm not sure if there are 12 or 16 or how many episodes in the season. I mean, I'm hoping we can get as many as we can because I want to see it all. And I was going to say too, like, this is a random point, but in terms of the action, I feel like in general as a show, Attack on Titan has a lot of action. And I think that if we were binge watching this, no one would be upset at the fact that we had two episodes with general talking exposition, flashbacks and stuff, because again, we get to learn so much throughout those episodes. But I think because it is the final season and we're watching it one at a time, it's like, dang, I'm trying to see somebody slicing up some Titans or something, you know. But I think once the season is done as a whole, it will have I feel like it's going to be a decent balance. And I think that once again, Aaron and them show up, the fight scenes are about to be crazy. Like, I think they're about to be going wild. Especially with, it looks like they have new technology and stuff, too, in their little fighting suits. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about with this. I'm talking about that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about. We just talked about so much. All right, you guys. Well, Thank you again, Aiden and Trey, for joining me on Big Titan Talk. This has been episode 4. You guys tell the people where they can find you guys.
Oh, man. Thank you for having us, Lynette. You can find us on Instagram at Hess and Lawson, on TikTok at H_and_L_kicks. I don't know how I remembered that off the top. and follow, subscribe to our channel. Eh?
Subscribe to our YouTube channel at H&L Kicks. And thanks for having us.
Appreciate you. Make sure you guys check out their YouTube and Instagram. Again, they are amazing and their business is definitely thriving. I'm sure their inbox is full with requests. So if you guys see something and you like it, hit them up. Like I said, I got some shoes from them and I love them. They were Payne Customs and they're awesome. And we're going to be doing something else soon. And I'm sure those are going to be equally, if not more, fire. So can't wait. But okay, thank you guys again for coming on. And thank you guys for joining me for another episode of Big Titan Talk. And make sure you guys are following me on Instagram, Twitter, Clubhouse, Tumblr, all of the things at the_AnimeMay. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.